Eastern Brody, I am Marjorie Egan. You're listening to Boston Public Radio 89.7 WGBH.
Hi there, Marjorie. What did you say?
I said, hello, Jim.
Well, I said, hello, Marjorie.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, hello.
So Pope Francis has electrified the world from his positions on poverty to homosexuality to his willingness to baptize aliens, he said, should outer space present him with such an opportunity. He's also a defender of Mother Earth, calling on his fellow Christians to become, quote, custodians of creation, and issuing a dire warning about the potentially catastrophic effects of global warming. As Senator Ed Markey told the Boston Globe, the Pope has the potential to elevate this issue to a whole new level of importance. Senator Markey met with Pope Francis earlier this week in Rome as the only American in a delegation that supports environmental protection. He knows better than anyone that in the U.S., the Northeast is bearing the brunt of climate change. Listen to this. Over the past century, temperatures in northeastern states have risen by 2 degrees Fahrenheit, and if the trend continues, warming could spike as much as 10 degrees here by the 2080s. Senator Markey joins us on the line, fresh from meeting with Pope Francis. Senator, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Hello, Senator Markey. You told John Allen from the Boston Globe, and if people don't know this, you are a Boston College and Boston College Law School graduate, both Jesuit schools. I don't know. Are you a triple legal, Senator Markey?
No, Malden Catholic and the Immaculate Conception Grammar School.
So okay.
To complete the 20 years in a row.
Okay. Well, okay. We got the Jesuit education there going at least part of the way. You had the chance to meet the first Jesuit Pope. And you called it one of the most important moments you'll ever have as a senator, as a Catholic, and a human being. Why?
Well, you know, if you're born and raised in the kind of environment that I was, which was a plan by my mother and father to put me into the Immaculate Conception Grammar School and then to go through the entire system, and to actually ultimately have the Jesuits teach about Pierre de Chardin, the incredible Jesuit philosopher, Payard, who was somebody that talked about the interconnectivity of mankind, how we're all related, and then to have a Jesuit Pope, the first Jesuit Pope after this greatest of all Jesuit philosophers, Pierre de Chardin of the 20th century, talked to us and instruct us all that we had a responsibility for not just ourselves, but for everyone around us and for the entire planet. It was one of those moments when you're shaking the hand of the Pope and you're getting a chance to talk to him that I wish my mother could know that it happened. And I think that everyone who is a Catholic would feel the same way.
I have to say, as a non-Catholic, I'd probably feel pretty close to the same way, Senator. Before we get to the content of your meeting and your discussion and what the takeaway is, you've met with presidents, obviously. You meet with world leaders. How intimidating is it, particularly after this beautiful description you gave us of a minute ago, how intimidating is it to be in the personal presence of a Pope?
Again, for me, to have this opportunity to talk about climate change with him, but also with his Secretary of State, who runs the Vatican, and with others, was about as great an honor as you can have as a Catholic, as a member of the species, because in many ways, he has now become the moral authority for the planet, and the issues on which he is speaking, including climate change, are those which infuse all of our actions with this sense of moral purpose. And so for me, although I've met presidents and I've met all these great sports heroes, at the bottom line, let's be honest, especially those of us who are Christians or actually, we were taught from an early age about the second hometown that we had. In addition to the one we grew up in, there was Bethlehem, there was Jerusalem, there was Nazareth, there was the Sea of Galilee. And every day that we were talked to about this man, Jesus, and his philosophy, and how we should try to live it. And here, the Pope is the extension of that in our own time. And for me, there could be no more powerful moment.
So, Ed Markey, tell us about the meeting. We know you had a minute with him. Tell us what you said. Tell us what the Pope had to say to the delegation you were part of.
Well, there were six of us, one from the Philippines, from Mexico, from Great Britain, from South Africa, and from Italy. And we each got to speak to him about this issue, because he is right now in the process of drafting an encyclical on climate change. He has said as recently as last week that if we destroy creation, creation will destroy us. And I was trying to communicate to him how important his message will be, that we, representative of the legislators of the world who have to pass the laws that will reduce the likelihood of the most catastrophic consequences of climate change, we need this infusion of moral authority as well to help to catalyze us in each one of our countries. And we here in the United States, you know, we can't preach temperance from a bar stool. We can't be telling others to do it if we ourselves are not reducing our own carbon pollution. And so I basically said to him that the planet is running a fever. There are no emergency rooms for planets. We have to engage in preventative care, and that his voice will give the moral power to legislators around the world by having ordinary Catholics, Christians, but everyone know that something must be done.
We're talking to Senator Ed Markey from Massachusetts. Just had a chance to meet with the Pope in Rome about climate change. Do you think, Senator, you know, obviously there are climate change deniers. You have a suggestion for them. We'll get to that in a second. But do you think that because of the Pope's popularity and the increased moral authority of his papacy, because of his personality, this is going to make a difference for those people that are in denial?
I don't know about the deniers, but I know about those who are being influenced by the deniers. When the Pope speaks, I think it will give a lot of people, not just here in the United States, but around the world, a reason to step back and evaluate whether or not that which the oil companies, the coal companies, the Koch brothers of our country, but of all countries, are saying about this subject is in fact accurate. And I think that's going to be a very important moment because it will help us to ensure that the message that the science is accurate and that in a lot of ways that the science is an answer to our prayers, that we will be able to move people politically on this issue. The congresswoman from the Philippines, you know, told the Pope how important it was for him to speak because their country had been devastated, obviously, last year with maybe the worst typhoon in world history, and the damage was incalculable. The Mexican congressman said the same thing. So in each instance, I think they were saying that not just Catholics but Christians and everyone will be responding if the Pope steps in and really makes this a moral and political challenge for the planet.
Senator Markey, a few years ago, had a great suggestion I thought it was a great suggestion anyway, for climate change deniers. What was that suggestion?
Well, that as these huge, huge blocks of ice break off the Antarctic, that we just allow them to become countries, and we can call it the country of denial, and there'll be enough room on these huge ice blocks for every denier to be able to live. And that's really what we've been learning in the last, you know, a few months, that the Antarctic is now starting to come apart. And it's almost like, if you want to think about why it's important, that if you have a glass of water, and it's already filled up to the top, and you put an ice cube on top, well, the water spills over. And so that's really what the ice of Antarctica or Greenland is. If that ice goes off the land and into the ocean, well, the rest of the ocean is going to start to go up higher and higher, and that's really the danger for not just New Bedford and Fall River and downtown Boston, but for poor countries all around the world that will be negatively impacted. And these deniers continue to pretend that what's happening in Antarctic, what's happening in the Arctic, is unrelated ultimately to the lives of ordinary people.
Senator Ed Markey, let's go back to Congress if we can for a second. You said you believe, I'm paraphrasing what you said a minute ago, you think it can influence not deniers, but those who are not deniers but have some doubts. My concern about this is, yes, the Pope's encyclical has a impact on real people. Americans rally around it potentially with leadership from a handful of politicians who care about it as much as the Pope does. But, you know, we saw a situation where, 90% of Americans supported background checks and Congress did nothing about it. Is there even one of your colleagues who you think will hear what the Pope has to say, even if he or she is praising the Pope 24/7, who all of a sudden is going to have an epiphany and worry, focus more on science and moral authority than they do on catering to the polluters? I mean, that's my fear, is that as wonderful as this is, that he's going to enter the fray, Pope Francis, that is, that most of your colleagues are worried about one thing, which is, will they get reelected?
I think ultimately there are people who decide elections, and they tend not to be ideological. They tend to be people who are trying to listen to both sides. And they can swing one way or the other. And if there is a massive amount of propaganda that is going out from one side that is actually distorting the reality, I think at the end of the day, if the Pope speaks, if activists at the grassroots across our country and across the world continue to work hard, then we will continue to make real progress. When I started to make the amendment on the House floor to increase fuel economy standards in 2001, we were at 25 miles per gallon, and I lost in 2001, I lost in 2003, I lost in 2005, but in 2007, I won. And today, the auto manufacturers now brag that they have 41 highway, 39 city, and they're heading towards 54 miles per gallon by the year 2025. But it wasn't overnight. It was a fight each year, year after year, before my provision ultimately became the law. And I think the same thing is going to be true here, that obviously it's no one moment, but I think his additional statements and moral power help to tilt the issue towards the truth, towards what people will see is something that has to happen. And I think that ultimately Congress is a stimulus response institution, and there's nothing more stimulating than thousands of parish priests, bishops, all reiterating a position like this. As people are walking out on Sunday morning trying to decide which is the right side of the issue. And at the end of the day, politicians will respond, and we will win on this issue. It's only a question of whether or not we do it in enough time to actually save the planet from the worst, most catastrophic consequences.
Senator, before you go away, since we have you, just minutes ago we heard that General Shinseki, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, has stepped down. The president has accepted his resignation. What's your quick reaction to that, Senator Markey?
Well, you know, he was a great soldier and a good man. In March of 2014, not one soldier died in Iraq. Not one soldier died in Afghanistan. But 700 veterans committed suicide in March 2014. And I think everyone now realizes that the VA and all of us have to do a much better job. These people served us. We have to serve them. We have a much greater obligation than has been discharged up until now. And let's just hope that we can now put in place the kinds of policies, the kind of funding that is going to be necessary to deal with traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress. Could be upwards of 50% of all the people who have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan. It's just time for all of us in America to have this conversation. And this just might turn out to be the silver lining of this entire controversy.
Senator Markey, we really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was Senator Ed Markey. He's just returned from Rome, where he, along with other legislators, met with Pope Francis to discuss climate change. Senator Markey, again, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Up next, we talk public health with Dr. Howard Koh, the Assistant Secretary for Health in the United States Department of Health and Human Services, and Jackie Jenkins-Scott, President of Wheelock College. Stay tuned for that on 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio.